calling all Enneagram Type 9s. They call us the peacemakers, the mediators, the harmonizers, and even the comfort-seeking, self-forgetting, conflict-avoiding, anger-repressing, agreeable, procrastinating, indecisive, passive-aggressive, yet undeniably likable sweethearts of the Enneagram who just want everyone to get along. Sound like you? Welcome to Meek Not Weak, a podcast for Type 9s who are ready to take up space in this world, to know that they matter, to fully engage in life as the brave captain of their own ship. And bonus points if we can do this without sacrificing our naps, sweatpants, snacks, and alone time. If all this sounds good to you, you're in the right place, and you're not alone. I'm Kimberly Eclipse. I'm so glad you're here. Let's do this. Hey, what's up, Type 9s? Welcome to another episode of Meek Not Weak. So today I'm back with another mini episode from our Summer Booty Shorts series, which is my collection of episodes that are so short, you can't resist checking them out. Just like that person in front of you at Target or wherever, wearing those short booty shorts, and you just can't take your eyes off of this microscopic booty covering that is supposedly a garment. All right, so my question for you today is, have you ever been stuck in indecision? Have you ever felt like you have to make a decision, but you're on this hamster wheel going round and round, weighing the pros and the cons, and then just feeling exhausted from going back and forth between the two options that just seem impossible to choose from? As Type 9s, I know you're familiar with that feeling of seeing all sides of a situation, and not just because you're indecisive, but you genuinely do understand all sides. You can see benefits to two seemingly opposite options, and possibly even being okay with either one, really. And all you can do is not make a decision at all and just stall, because that feels way less scary than actually making a decision and sticking to it. Or worse, making the wrong decision. So all this overthinking that happens when we're trying to make a decision. You can call it anxiety-ridden overthinking, which may be nines going to the low side of type six. You may know that type nines have a line to six. Or maybe the indecision is about perfectionism, not wanting to make a mistake, which may be nines leaning way too hard into our one wing. But either way, though, whether it's fearful, anxious overthinking, or if it's perfectionism, when we're stuck in indecision, we are sadly missing the mark on being engaged in life, in making a choice that potentially brings us more satisfaction or joy or peace of mind. As nines, you know, we often think those things, joy, satisfaction, peace of mind, reaching goals, whatever it is, big dreams, small dreams, we often think that those things are indulgent. So we talk ourselves out of our impulses, the impulse to get what you want what you want. So I think that's part of what happens with our indecision. But then, of course, we also have decisions that we don't want to make because they're just awful. Maybe you're in a tough or scary situation, like a medical situation, where you're choosing between two very serious, very heavy, very unfortunate options. We're afraid of making a decision because it would be painful to experience the consequences of either option. So we'll just check out and decide to not decide, possibly making the whole situation worse, or at the very least, more drawn out. But whether you're trying to make a small decision or a big one, today I want to share three tips or exercises, really, for Type 9s who struggle with indecision. First, though, let me tell you what's happening kind of behind the scenes in my life that led me to thinking up this topic for today. So I just came back from visiting family on Long Island in New York. And Long Island, New York City, it's where I've been born and where I was raised. So we were there to celebrate my son's 8th birthday and my nephew's 17th birthday. And being back there, being with my siblings and parents, it reminded my husband and I of how lovely it is to be with family, especially if you get along with your family. And especially when you're the one family member, this is me now, who flew far from the nest and wound up in a different state altogether. Fortunately, we're only about 3 hours away outside of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, but there's a definite hole in our lives without having any family around us. My husband's family is not in this state either. And it's especially brutal now that we have our own kids, and I know what they're missing by not living near extended family. Honestly, it just sucks to feel like we're missing out on certain events, experiences, gatherings, and just the overall well-being and life balance that you get from living near your tribe. Now, we moved to Pennsylvania for a few very, very good reasons related to affordability, career, and a few other things, but we are just aching for that old-fashioned, simple, family-focused lifestyle that living on Long Island could give us. But it would definitely be an uncomfortable trade-off, for sure. So here I am, a type 9, frozen in indecision. We've been thinking about this for years. I feel like ever since we moved here many, many years ago, I think it's been 10 years. Oh my gosh. But we've always been kind of going back and forth in our minds. And all along, I think I've always been thinking about my kids and my husband's needs and preferences around this potential move and trying to get, you know, clear on what they need. But nowadays, since I'm so focused on my own growth as a 9, I am trying to actually get a little more clarity on my own needs and preferences around this potential move. And that's the hard part. Maybe you can relate. It's wondering, you know, okay, how do I feel separate from how everyone else feels about this? I think I'm so used to only moving forward with an idea if it's good for everybody involved, not just me. But because of the intentionality that I have right now around my growth, I'm going to approach this decision differently than how I would typically and unconsciously approach decisions in my 20s and 30s. And instead, I'm going to try to get in touch with my own thoughts around this decision of staying in Pennsylvania or moving back to New York. And I'm going to do this without thinking about my family's opinions. Now, I know that moving to a different state is never really going to just be about me, and it shouldn't. But for the sake of my goals as a 9, a growing 9, I'm going to try this. I'm going to come up with an opinion and get clarity around my actual preference. And then I'm going to share that with my family. This is my big project right now. So that's where I'm coming from. And this was kind of in the backdrop of my mind when I gathered these 3 tips or exercises that you can do if, like me, you're faced with a tough decision. Aside from the traditional pro versus con list or flipping a coin, I hope that these tips are just a different way of thinking about this decision, you know, from the perspective specifically of a 9. So here we go. So the first tip or exercise is to channel your inner toddler. Without overthinking, when it comes to this decision that you have to make, what does your inner toddler want? Tap into your earliest memories of yourself. Can you remember that little girl or little boy? Do you remember wanting things, asking for things, or even demanding things? No consequences considered. You know, it's just like, which cookie do I want to grab? You know, what do you want? It's just like an impulsive desire. Which toy do you grab impulsively? And let's just say in the end, you know that your parent or grandparent will let you have both cookies or both toys. You can have it all, really. But which do you impulsively want first? No judgments around it. No thinking about, you know, the pros and cons. No one to tell you no. Which cookie do you impulsively reach for first? So think about that in your situation. If you could be a toddler capable of tantrums, maybe we don't have to go that far, but you know, you're capable of feeling your feelings. Remember how that used to be? I've spoken to so many nines who used to be that way, remember being that way, but then there was some kind of shift in childhood that caused you to not want to act on impulses and not feel things. But go back to the days when you could. Imagine yourself as a really young child. What would you grab? What would you impulsively reach for? Think about that. All right, tip number two, listen to your body, not your thoughts, your body. So here's how to do this. Think about one of the options that you have to decide between. So I'm thinking about New York versus Pennsylvania. All right, now think about having it, living it, actually enjoying the potential positive outcomes of your choice. Make it really clear and really real in your imagination. Once it's real in your imagination, do a body scan. So from your head down to your toes, slowly pay attention to any physical sensation, starting from your head, down your face, your neck, down to your shoulders, down to your chest, followed by your stomach, and on all the way down to your toes. Do you notice feeling anything as you scan down your body and while you're imagining this this choice and how it would impact you? Do you notice feeling relaxed as you do the scan? Maybe butterflies in your stomach? Do you feel knots or tension? Take note of everything. And then next, what you do is think of your second option and follow those same steps for the body scan. So start thinking of the second option, imagine it being real, imagine yourself benefiting from that choice, and then do your body scan again. Then you compare notes. Which of these options felt better in your body? Not your thoughts, your body. So that'll be another clue to help you with your decision. All right, number three. So we started off with you as a toddler, and now let's channel your inner wise woman or wise man. You can think of this person as you, but much, much older. You're old and wrinkly, with a joyful smile and a gentle but powerful spirit. You've experienced all the ups and downs of life. You've seen it all. You're in a period of gratitude and reflection. Think about who you hope to be closer to the end of your life, a version of you that you'd be proud of, proud to become eventually, a version of you that actually made it. You've lived a great life. You've lived an engaged life and you feel complete. What would that inner wise person who has nothing to lose, who can clearly see the big picture and what's truly important in life, which of the options you're choosing between would that beautiful version of you go for? Okay, I hope these three exercises help you with making your tough decision right now, and I hope it helps me too. I'll get back to you on how that goes. And as always, remember, Your needs, desires, opinions, and feelings matter because they matter to you and you matter. Peace out, peacemakers. Hey, Type 9, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Did you know that when I'm not recording for this podcast, I'm a trained counselor turned astrologer and intuitive card reader who specifically supports Type 9s? I hold up a mirror to your true essence, to your needs and desires, to the true you beneath your Type 9 exterior, and to the themes of your unique hero's journey. Whether you've got a question around your career, relationships, or life purpose, or if you're at a crossroads and you're not sure how to move forward, there's a message you're meant to hear right now in this specific season of your life. It comes from the divine within you, and I can help you access that guidance. Check out KimberlyEclipse.com for more information on how to book a reading, or find me on Instagram. I'm at Kimberly.Eclipse. See you there.